Joining us this morning for a legislative update, our 12th District State Senator, Brad Hawkins. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Great to be with you.
Jump in here.
Oh, absolutely. Bring us up to speed on where things are for you and in this particular session. I know we're kind of in the home stretch, but how are things feeling?
Well, feeling pretty good in some ways. You know, we're definitely in the home stretch. I think we're on schedule to finish towards the end of April. Most of the bills have been advancing through the process, and now, especially this week, the major bills that are likely to advance out of the Senate and correspondingly out of the House of Representatives in the other chamber are the budget proposals. And so, for example, the Senate's operating budget was just proposed, and that is coming through committee, and I think we'll have a chance to vote on that. It's a huge increase. For this time around, we have a lot of federal dollars coming too, but in addition to that, what the Senate budget writer on the Democratic side proposes for the operating budget is a huge increase in spending. It's a $59.5 billion two-year budget proposal. That's up almost $5 billion from the current budget of $54 billion. So that's a significant increase, and also it includes that assumption that the capital gains tax will pass, so it banks the revenue from that, and it also would fully utilize the budget stabilization reserve account and spend all that extra revenue that the state was projecting recently with its revenue forecast. So that concerns me, and I'm sure that'll be closely debated, as will the other two budgets.
Mm-hmm. As you've seen all this budgeting process go on, what's the biggest waste that you think you've seen during this session?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. We kind of hold education to be really sacred, and it is. You know, it's the paramount duty of the state. But the state invests half of its budget on K-12 education. And this particular year, you know, I don't know that the taxpayers have really seen a return on that investment. Not only parents and families who have kids in school, but also the taxpayers who are supporting this system, because we're trying to equip people to be contributing members of our 21st century global economy. And when kids graduate from our K-12 system or eventually throughout our college system, they need to be prepared to compete with people, kids graduating from schools in European countries and China and India. And so I don't think it's any fault of the hardworking educators, but, you know, the lack of in-person, in-building instruction in some areas of the state, and also the less than ideal remote learning, that's been a challenge. But one of the things I just really struggle with, Jeff, is just the significant growth in government over the years that even I've served in the legislature. So for example, I was just telling you about this current budget proposal for the next 2 years. It's almost $60 billion. Well, just 10 years ago, the budget that was approved in Washington State, if you'd want to take a guess, it's almost half of that. It was $31 billion. And now we're talking about almost a $60 billion budget proposal. So I have this 10-year operating budget growth chart that I need to update. And boy, and I put that $60 billion figure in, I'm going to have to adjust the scale of the chart. But basically, the budget has almost doubled over the last 10 to 12 years. And I just don't feel like we're going to be able to sustain that, because in order to do that, we're going to need to keep up all this revenue in our state. And if there is a true economic downturn, not one of these sort of COVID pandemic downturns that's backfilled by a bunch of federal dollars, I think we're going to really struggle in our state to maintain these services. And that's something, it's not necessarily waste, but it's just a growing concern of mine for the future.
How much of that increase do you think you can attribute to an increase in population? Certainly not double.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have to normalize the data based on, you know, population growth and some of the normal challenges, but it's certainly probably well outpaces population growth, as well as average income earnings and all those other things. So I guess the good news is that the state revenue continues to do well. You know, even during this pandemic, we've seen growth in revenue. But the state also, especially in the past several years, when the Democratic members of the legislature with Governor Inslee have seen certain windows of opportunity, they've created new taxes and new revenue sources too. Like what we talked about with this capital gains income tax. With all this extra revenue in the state, with a healthy budget stabilization rainy day fund reserve account that we have, and with all these federal dollars in, we really don't need the revenue from a capital gains tax, but they're trying to add that in because this is their window of opportunity. And if we want to just focus on that capital gains tax as an example, the budget assumes $500 million from the capital gains tax when it's implemented a year from now. And so it has a bit of a ramp up, but you know, we talked about the potential for a statewide referendum if the bill passes. We also talked about the potential of a state Supreme Court challenge on the bill's constitutionality. So if either of those things are successful for the anti-tax advocates, then we've essentially built a budget that relies on $500 million of new revenue that we might not actually be receiving in the future. So what does that do? We build in all these programs and spending on the spending side, and then we could potentially have a half of $1 billion hole in the budget in the out years, which would either force us to reduce services and programs at that time, which would be unpopular, or raise taxes, some other type of tax, which would be unpopular. And so I just think the more prudent thing to do would be to be more judicious about the use of taxpayer funds in this budget cycle, especially as we're pulling out of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Here we are approaching April like a freight train. Is this legislature going to get anything done to limit executive powers on the governor as it relates to emergency orders?
Boy, I'm afraid probably not. You know, I've co-sponsored a bill to support that. I've been advocating for that. Senate Republicans especially have been pushing very hard on that. You and I have had some good discussions about that. We've received some texts from the listener line. But, you know, the reality is I just don't believe, and I don't want to get too political here, but I don't believe that Democrats in the legislature, even though they might support it, want to do something like that at this time that potentially undermines the governor or in some way some sort of executive action reform would be some sort of slight to Governor Inslee and how he handled the pandemic. I just think that's really what their concern is. And maybe privately, I'm just speculating, but maybe Governor Inslee has said, hey, if you send that bill to me, I'm going to veto it, so don't even try. So, you know, there could be conversations like that. Personally, I do acknowledge that Governor Inslee was dealt a tough hand with this pandemic. I disagree with a lot of his approach on how he responded, but the reality for me is, you know, we need to reform and update and modernize our state's Emergency Powers Act, because the founders never envisioned a nearly years-long pandemic. When we have situations like this, we need to learn from it and make modernizations for the future. And it's really, to me, it's not about Governor Inslee anymore. It's about all his successors in the governorship. So we need to think about something beyond ourselves when it comes to making important reforms like that. Mm-hmm. But also don't think, you know, it's just done this year. I think there's opportunities for citizens' initiatives when it comes to reforming emergency powers. And I also think it's something that we could address in a couple years. For example, if Governor Inslee takes a job in the President Biden administration, we get a new governor, you know, maybe that new governor would be more open to some of those reforms.
Mm, wow. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with your listeners this morning?
Well, we're going to try to pass these budgets out of the Senate, and the House is going to do the same thing. And then the budget negotiators for each of those three budgets, operating, transportation, and capital, they're going to be negotiating those. We worked hard to try to include some things for our districts in each one. I have three bills still in the House of Representatives that I'm trying to get to the governor's desk. But all the while, if people have any questions or concerns, feel free to reach out to me on my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org, and we'll try to get everybody's answers to their questions as we finish these final few weeks and try to finish on time. But I appreciate the chance to be on with you every week, Jeff, and to make a community connection with the KOZI listeners. So thanks for having me.
Senator Brad Hawkins, always good to have you, and we'll look forward to an update next week.
Sounds great. Thanks,
all right,
Jeff.
Thanks so much.